you know, this passage came to my mind to speak about praise, and I've entitled this two-part series as Worship's Proper Attire. Worship's Proper Attire. And as we read here in Isaiah 61, are you there? Isaiah 61, the first, three verses, Todd, of Isaiah 61. It says, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because he has anointed me." Now, these words ought to sound familiar to us because these are words that Jesus used when he began his ministry. When Jesus began his public ministry, he stood in the synagogue and he announced himself in the ministry that he was about to undertake by using these words. And in using these words, what he was saying was what Isaiah was writing way back when in Isaiah 61, he was writing prophetically about me, Jesus was saying, and I am now here to inaugurate this ministry. So that when we think about Jesus' salvation, we have to think about it in terms of as he announced it. Make sense? We have to think about what Jesus did for us, his salvation, and how it is that he announced it was going to in fact be. These words tell us what Jesus' salvation is all about, what he has provided for us in his salvation. And so he says, what is it? To preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, to release from darkness the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor in the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and to provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, instead of mourning, a garment of praise, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and here it is, in a garment of praise in exchange for, instead of, a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor, for the praise of his glory. Let's pray together. Father, as we're here in your presence now, and as we have come now to the word of the Lord, as our worship continues, that you would draw near by your Spirit, make this worthwhile for us, Lord. God, that you would do something in our lives that would surprise us, that would be surprising to us, Lord, when we leave here, that something would click, that we would understand what you're saying to us, that would reach deep down inside of us, Lord, and be consequential for us where we live. I pray in Christ's name, amen. And so, worship's proper attire, going back to the part of verse 3, part of what Jesus has done for you and me is he has given to us a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. When I think of my own life before I came to Christ, I was in complete despair. I was a young person, but I had hit bottom and I was bouncing on bottom. That's my testimony. I was bouncing on bottom. And when I found Christ, he took that off me and he clothed me in a garment of praise. I didn't think it was possible to be so happy without smoking something or taking something. I'm serious. I really am. And it was like, wow, this is incredible, you know. And it was that garment of praise that he, you know, he gave to me and that I received as a part of his salvation. And I just want to imprint this upon all of our minds this morning. This garment of praise has been given to each one of us in as much as forgiveness of our sins has been given to you and to me, he has also given to us the garment of praise. It's mine to receive and to wear in exchange for a spirit of heaviness, a spirit of despair. Thank God. Thank God for that. And so the invitation that we received to church, to go to church, to come to church, comes with a notation, you know, like the invitation we receive to an event. And then there's that little notation indicating proper attire, right? in the proper attire when we accept the invitation that's given to us to come to church is the garment of praise. When you show up at church, make sure you're dressed in the appropriate clothing, which is what? The garment of praise. Because if clothes make the person, then the garments of praise suit us well. For we are above everything else worshipers and worshipers of God. And so if I am a worshiper, then the clothing, my attire, ought to reflect that, which is what? The garment of praise. So that we can go back, and I'm not going to do this, and talk about and lay that kind of foundation, how it was when God created. He created while the choir of heaven was singing, and praise and worship and adoration was happening. It wasn't as though God had this, you know, had his you know, work clothes on in the sense where this was, you know, sheer drudgery in what he was doing. Oh, you know, let me put the sun over here. Oh, do I have to? Yeah, you know, it's almost quitting time. Oh, let me, you know, sun goes there. You know, the sun, the moon, the stars. Oh well. Oh, people. Oy vey. People. Do I have to make people? You know, and it's like, no. Heavens, no. There are scriptures that indicate that when he did this, there was a burst of worship and praise in all of heaven. That as God created, there was this magnificence, this orchestration of praise and worship going on. And so that's how we were brought to life in all of that. We were brought to life in worship and praise. It's a part of who I am. It's in my spiritual DNA. It's in my DNA to be a worshiper of God. And it only stands to reason now that as I have been invited to church by the Holy Spirit, that I make sure I have the garments of praise on. Right? And so experiencing God in worship, and I want to highlight that once again, experiencing God in worship includes, but is more than, a happy feelings experience. Now, let me just go on the other side of that just for a minute, okay? Absolutely, we feel God. And to experience God in worship certainly is to feel Him. And we engage, and it does, you know, call upon and draw out, and I become emotionally engaged, and I feel something, and I feel God in my person, in my being. And it certainly includes that. But experiencing God in worship, though it includes that, it is more than that, because above my emotions and above the externals, and by externals I mean everything from the instruments to how it is that we lead in worship, to make the invitation, to help, to encourage everyone to worship, how whatever it is that we use, the lights, the smokes, the action, the camera, all that stuff, the externals that we use, you know, making sure that the air condition is, you know, just right on these hot days. Otherwise, don't expect me to worship. Don't expect me to praise, you know. It's just too hot. Whatever. And there is truth to that. I'm not, you know, in any way denying those kinds of things and more. But above that, above all of those emotions, above the externals, is the majesty of God. The majesty of God, which I am, you know, whom I am worshiping. I'm worshiping Him. I'm worshiping God, the majesty of God. So that, what does that mean? That means that, you know, I emotionally just might not be there. And anybody, not, you know, emotionally, you just haven't been there. You know, I'm not going to say mentally you just haven't been there. That's too dang. I don't want to know. But seriously, though, certainly, you know, from you know, bad digestion, you know, on a Sunday morning to, you know, I don't know, you were cut off in traffic to you went through Dunkin' Donuts across the street and they got the order wrong. And whatever, you know, and we just, we're just, you know, life has its way of dishing things out to us that causes us to take a dive. And it's like, I got to, you know, I'm going to church now, I'm going to worship. You want me to praise? Yes. Yeah. Yes. That I do it in spite of myself. I do it in spite of my, despite my circumstances. Why? because he is the majesty in the heavens, and he is worthy of my praise. You see? So there's something bigger to that. That's not what I'm about this morning in this message, but we need to hear that when we talk about experiencing God in worship. And then thank God, and what I've usually found is this, that you know, if I exercise my faith and I go there without the feelings, it's not long before my feelings catch up regardless of my circumstances. It's amazing how that happens. And I thank God for that. Now, once again, it's not to say that externals aren't important to spiritual realities or to God's concerns. He is concerned about, you know, that our worship team, I mean, that they practice, that, you know, if you're up here, you can sing. You notice that Cliff hasn't been here? We kicked him out because he just can't sing. And I'm just tired of it. And it's like, Cliff, you know, no. Heavens, no. God. I wish he could hear this now. But no, he's been hard at work at his place in Maine. But anyways, externals, you know, the place where we meet and all, you know, all the externals and so many things that we can, they are important. You know, my body is important to who I am. Just try going without it. But, you know, my body, you know, is something so prized by God that when he came to save us, he gave himself a body to come and do it. And so externals are important to spiritual realities and to God's concern, but we have to be careful when we talk about our experiencing God in worship that those things don't, you know, that we don't allow those things, because they can, to dominate and, you know, allow what we see externally to dominate our reality. My reality isn't determined by how I feel. I'm in trouble if it is. I'm in trouble. And we have to be careful to see that, you know, well, you know, it's like we were talking earlier, because the clouds grew dark and there was threat and some places got storms. And it's like, well, you know, what if the power goes out? Well, you know, that's going to ruin worship if the power goes out. Listen, I get that. You know, I get it, because the music assists us in the worship, and music is a part of our worship. But it doesn't have to. It really doesn't have to. And so, you know, we have to condition ourselves, our thinking, to see that there's something bigger above those things when we talk about praise. Now, you know, just quickly here, and as an aside, Acts 16, Paul and Silas are thrown into prison. They're beaten and thrown into prison. And not only are they thrown into prison, but they are put into stocks. You know what, remember the stock, you know? And, you know, they're put into stocks. They're put in double confinement, you know? And then the scripture tells us there, in those kinds of circumstances, it said that they lifted up their voices and started praising God. Now, I don't know about you, but it's like, you know, Paul says over to Silas, hey, Silas, you know what? You got a song you're thinking of that we could sing right now? Silas looks at Paul and says, Paul, I'm licking my wounds. Are you kidding me? I just got my back lashed here with 39 lashes. The last thing I want to do, sorry, Paul, is sing. Paul says, well, you know, I know what you're feeling. He says, but you got a song? And Silas says, hey, you know what? Maybe I do. Yeah, okay, let's try it. So they start humming a tune. Before you know it, there's an earthquake. They're released from prison because God comes down and saves them. Powerful, what praise can do. But nonetheless, like praying, when we pray, usually, not all the time, we close our eyes. You ever thought about that? Why do we do that? Well, I think sometimes we do that because we close our eyes to perceive God, while disconnecting from the externals around us. So we close our eyes, and that puts us more in touch with, you know, with spiritual realities, helping us to disconnect from what we see. And so with praise, when we come together in a Sunday morning and we are asked to join in, and you know, we close our eyes, we lift our hands, we may leave our eyes open, whatever, and we're doing that to help us disconnect from what we just now see to what is just as real but unseen. And so regardless, though, of keeping our eyes open or closing our eyes when we praise God, what we're doing when we praise is we're crossing a threshold. We're crossing a threshold from what is seen into the realm of what is unseen. And God is spirit. And the realities of heaven, the realities of the kingdom of God, are in that unseen realm. Unseen, notice, not unreal. And there are those times when we perceive perhaps with a little bit more clarity. And there are those times when glimpses are given into the unseen, where God makes himself known here and now, in the here and now, in the seen. I've had that kind of experience. I really have. In 1995, where I was actually taken into heaven. And I perceived myself going into heaven. And while I was in heaven, you know, the Lord spoke to me, and I saw the Lord as in a vision a person can see the Lord. You could touch me afterwards if you want. But there was that kind of perception that went on by the experience that I had, and there were other people there who witnessed what I was going through. But nonetheless, I'm just saying that we're brought into, when we praise, we're crossing a threshold into where God lives. And we're plugging into an energy. We're plugging into an energy source for our lives in a reality that is more real than what we just now see. Because what we just now see is temporary. It's going to go away. But what was unseen in the reality of the realm where God is eternal and forever. And we are, when we praise God, we are plugging into that. Like we plug into the wall socket and you can turn that fan on, and because it's connected to the energy source, wow, the fan works. See? And when I plug in through praise, I start to work. I really do. I start to work. And it really is that way, because praise translates us into God's presence. It brings me there, you know. By calling, when I praise, I'm calling myself into attention, all my attention on God. That's what I'm doing when I pray. I'm calling myself to attention, to the one who is worthy of praise. And when I do that, when I am calling into attention, all my attention on God, there is this awareness that I am in his presence. Money can't buy that. MasterCard can't even come close to that, his presence. And so you've received an invitation. This morning you received the invitation, as I stress, it isn't merely that you decided to be here this morning. Well, this is what we do. We go to church. It's my church. I'm going to church Sunday morning. This is what we do. It's bigger than that. It's more than that, whether you realize it or not. And I'm saying this to help us all realize it. It's a response to an invitation that the Holy Spirit calls out all the time when his people come together to worship. All the time when his people come together to worship. Because the word church is a phrase that was coined in early Greek, ekklesia, which means in Greek a people called together to an assembly. And it was adopted from the language then that was used to call people to an assembly by the Greeks to handle civil matters Well, there are matters of the kingdom that the Holy Spirit calls his people together to address and to be concerned with, and therefore you get church. Church. Now, the idea is they are called together. You understand? Inasmuch as a general assembly is called, someone puts out the word, we have a meeting. There's an official, it's an official thing. And so church, a meeting here today, this is official kingdom business that we have been called to by the Holy Spirit. And I say that to stress the importance of it. Heaven help us not to be nonchalant about it. Heaven help us not to be careless about it. Because I don't want to go there. And so we have to remember. And so, you know, we received the invitation, and in that you're here this morning, it indicates that you have RSVP'd, you know. And we have to remember that the Holy Spirit has called us together to worship God. And yes, there are many components to our worship. I hold as valuable to worship when you come into this place and you talk with each other and you fellowship with each other and you're learning things, and things happen, that is just as much worship as when we stand together and we say, hey, let's lift our hands now, let's lift our voices and praise God. It's worship. And that's the invitation of the Holy Spirit. So we say, well, now what? Okay, what, you know, now what? Well, I want to put it together like this, in the now what. Okay, well, we've received the invitation. You know, we're here this morning. We come every week. We're not going to be casual worshipers. No, you know, the call has been issued. I'm responding to the call. I'm going to respond to the call. Now what? Here's the first thing that I would say to the now what. When you come prepared to praise. You know, be prepared. Isn't that what the Boy Scouts motto? Right? Be prepared, right? Noah was prepared, right? You know, be prepared. It wasn't raining when he built the boat. Right? As we say. But the whole idea of be prepared to praise. What do I mean by that? Before you get here, prepare your heart. Prepare your heart before you arrive. Before you get here. See, before I come, prepare your heart. Pray. God, we're coming together today. Lord, I want to worship you. Lord, speak to me. Lord, however it is, you know, in your devotions and Sunday morning, Saturday night, where, you know, instead of rushing right in, or, you know, life and all of its challenges is the way in which it comes in. And I get it. I get it. You know, I'll tell you, as I said, you know, sometimes when I come Sunday mornings, I got to sit right there while the worship team is practicing. Because I need it. You know, I need to just, you know, as they're practicing and I feel the presence of God as they're practicing in their practice. And it helps me. It lifts me. It helps me to prepare my own heart. You know, but before I come, and so I just throw it out to you, come prepared to praise. You know? So it doesn't take the second song, the third song, the fifth, you know, but say, well, I'm going to praise God today. And then here's the second thing that I would say. Join in the praise that's going on. Yeah. Apply one or more of the five things that we mentioned last week. Remember one of the five things that we, you know, listen, if your heart is cold, man, get warmed up, heat it up. You know, if there's a blockage, deal with it. Or one of the five things that we talked about last week, join in the praise that's going on. Join in. And then here's the last one. And this is big. This is a big one, and I want to emphasize. If all the instruments in an orchestra were the same, and therefore, or if they sounded the same, it wouldn't be an orchestra, would it? It'd be pretty hideous, you know? And we look at ourselves as the church, we come together to worship, as an orchestra. As an orchestra that is able to have a sound that blends together from everyone being different in the contribution that they make to the worship. You understand what I'm saying? And so respond like you respond. You see, I don't know if that takes the pressure off. But sometimes we can be made to feel like, you know, in worship that, you know, if I'm not responding like so-and-so, or if I'm not worshiping or got my praise on like so-and-so does, listen, so-and-so may be feeling like it. And the last thing you feel like this morning is feeling like it like they feel like it. You just don't got it. But at the same time, you know, you need to respond like you need to respond. Maybe your response in worship this morning is going to be, man, I'm going on all faith this morning. Where my life is at right now, what I'm dealing with right now, man, you know, I can't get them both up, but I'll go halfway. That's legitimate. That's praise. You're getting your praise on. You understand what I'm saying to you? You know, and respond the way that you respond. One accord and worshiping together doesn't mean that everybody is the same. Heaven forbid. We're not all the same, thank God. Yeah. If everyone in the world were like me, what would the world be like? Yeah, perfect. Thank you, Mike. I know you were talking about me. But seriously, though, that isn't how we're made. And when you know, we need to take the pressure off, you know, and we respond. And I know, in working in youth ministries, you know, we're always keep, you know, some youth situations, whatever, you know, it's like, you know, the kids who seem to be, you know, real gung ho and jumping around and all, you know, it's like, oh man, and then you know, the kids on the back row or whatever, they're there. It's like, well, you know, they're out of it. Really? Really? I don't think so. No, not necessarily. Who knows what's going on in their hearts, you know? And certainly we, you know, it's just we have to be careful. But just to say, respond like you respond. And that's praise. That's getting your praise on. Now, you have to be careful because it's like, you know, it's like me dance in church. I don't think so. You know, it's like never. You know, be careful. All I gotta say is be careful. I've seen people say things like that, and it's like the next thing you see is that they become so overwhelmed sometimes in the presence of God that the only way they can express or release that kind of infilling in their lives is to put some kind of action to it, you know? And they dance before the Lord. Or it could be the opposite. Me, be quiet through a worship service and just, you know, be reflective and quiet. Me? You know, I need to be, you know, and it's like, oh, yeah, you'd be surprised. Oh, yeah. You can be reflective and worshipful. Just, you get my meaning in this? You know, you get my meaning? Respond like you respond, and at the same time, we're responding to the Holy Spirit's help to worship God. Amen. Let's stand together in His presence. Worship's proper attire. What is it? The garment of praise. The garment of praise. You know? How can I help in this situation? When you come, be prepared to praise. Join in the praise that's going on. Respond how you would respond. We're all different. Thank God for that. You know? Thank God for that. God made us all different. And He made us different not to be separate, but by our differences to complement each other. If every instrument in an orchestra were the same, you'd have the same sound. I wouldn't want to listen for very long. Can you, how many pieces are usually in an orchestra? I don't know, 50, 60 pieces? Man, if they were all drums. I know. The drummer says awesome. But But it wouldn't be an orchestra. You know, that's the point. The point is it wouldn't be an orchestra. Vic, sorry, as much as you'd love it, you know. You understand what I'm saying. So listen, let's pray. And our hope is, you know, as we come into this place to praise the Lord, that there is such a crossing over that threshold always into that unseen realm of where his presence is so manifest among us. Amen? That's the key. And so, Father, as we're here in your presence and as we say amen in this service, our time together, Lord, I'm the better for it, and I thank you. Thank you for your word, Lord. And God, I believe that you're doing something special in all of our lives and with us as a church. Lord, help us to get our praise on. Help us, Holy Spirit, I pray. In Christ's name. God bless you. Go in peace.